Let me call your attention to our scriptural passage for this morning. It comes from Psalms, the 139th division of Psalms, the 23rd and the 24th verses. If you look closely in the book of Psalms, you'll see that Psalm is the Hebrew poems and poetry and sacred songs that are recorded in these 150 songs. There are five divisions. If you look in your Bible, you'll notice that there are five divisions. And so we're going to look at the fifth division. And of course, it is a song by King David. He's not responsible for all of the songs. He's responsible for only 73 of the psalms, but this one in particular. Let me ask you to locate the passage as we read it together. It's going to be on the screen as well as it's going to be on the back of your worship bulletin. Let us read together in unison. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning, Self-Examination. Self-Examination. Look to your neighbors and say the title with me. Self-Examination. According to Webster Dictionary, examine means to inspect or to analyze a person, a place, or thing. It's easy to look at another person's life and give your examination of what they should do or what they shouldn't be doing. It's easy to point the finger, but we have to remember that we have several coming back at us as well. Self-examination is so important to our spiritual DNA. In fact, if you look at this passage closely, you'll see where David, the little shepherd boy, the one who killed the giant one day, the one who shared as it relates to the 23rd Psalm, a person after God's own heart, David decided to have a self-examination. As our adults as well as the students are eagerly looking forward to returning back to school. I want to share with you on Monday I received a phone call from our new superintendent of schools who's been worshiping with us. And he invited me to come to the back to school meeting with all of his administrators, school teachers, maintenance personnel, as well as transportation. And, of course, I said yes, not knowing what he really wanted, but he said he wanted me to be there. Well, lo and behold, when he stood up before all of his colleagues, I noticed that he had something in his hand. It was our worship bulletin. And get this, he shared his first address, and he talked for 5 minutes about his worship experience here at Palm Coast United Methodist Church. Isn't that something? A superintendent who is not ashamed to share as it relates to his faith and his commitment and even going to church. Now, of course, I was intimidated with that crowd because I was wondering in my own mind, how many of those folks actually taught me in school? Yeah, that's a whole nother subject. Amen. But it reminds me of the three R's. How many of you know what the three R's are? Oh, say that together again. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. All right. That's the three R's. That's something that we're encouraging and supporting our young people as they go back and matriculate in school to continue to make a difference and to assist those administrators in educating the head, the hearts, and the hands of our young people. To continue to push them and encourage them to be the best that they can be. Well, the three R's are extremely important to all of our lives. And of course, I'm very familiar, even in this congregation, we have some math professors and teachers, some who are active and some who are retired. I shared last week at our fraternity, sir, the Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity, banquet, and it was some members of our church who was there as well. And my former college math teacher, Dr. Ann Taylor Green, who I love, she was there as well, and she came to our table, and I'm always intimidated just to be around her because I had her twice for the same subject. You got it. You got it. And she shared with the group. She shared with our group. She shared that I tried to negotiate with her, and I did. That's a true story. I shared with her the first time that I had noticed that my grade was going downhill, and it was the end of the semester. I shared with her that, you know, it looked like you can just help me see my way out of the class. Some of you probably have been there as well. And she said, no. I said, well, you don't understand. I've been called to go into the ministry and to be a preacher, and nowhere in the world I'm going to be counting money. They shouldn't allow preachers to count money, so I don't need math. And she said to me, this true conversation, she said, no, you're going to take my class again, and don't try and go to any other class because I will fine you. You're going to take my class, and you're going to pass my class. And those words are the words I needed to hear during that time, because she noticed something that I already knew, that I wasn't giving it my best. But I didn't know she knew it. And she was determined for me to rise to the occasion and to give it my best. And guess what? I passed the second time. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. But the point that I'm saying is, as it relates to our school children, to continue to encourage them, to share with them, to mentor them, to assist them. And we have great needs here, even at the church. And to help encourage them to do their best, to do their best. And to have that expectation to raise the bar, even when they won't try and raise it or attempt to raise it. Help them. To assist them on their journey. It's so important. It's so important. Amen? And so if you look closely at this passage of Scripture as it relates to self-examination, here you have the first question is this question. How good is your relationship with God? Look to your neighbor, and if you're in the balcony, look to your neighbors and ask the question. If you're here right here on the main floor, how good is your relationship with God? How good is it? Are you and God on speaking terms? Do you relate to God and share with God your joys, your sorrows, your aspirations, your expectations? God wants to hear from us. And we do that through prayer and other forms and means of communicating with God. It is a dialogue. It is not a monologue where we just give God, like he's a genie in a bottle, just give him all of our desires and poof, they come. But it is a dialogue, our one-on-one time with God, to pray to God and to stay there long enough to hear a response to our prayers. And sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says what? Wait. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting on God. This week, our staff held our annual staff retreat. And Beverly Patrick was the facilitator. And she shared as it relates to manners, minding your manners. M-Y-N. M. And it was a wonderful workshop and wonderful time, and you're going to hear more about it during our Wednesday Word this week. But also, we read the book by Olu Brown, who is the pastor of Impact United Methodist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. We read from his book, Leadership Directions from Moses. And on page 10, he had a real good, just small nugget. And he says, take a moment, take a pause moment. And we're called to do that daily. Take a pause moment out of the day. Could be in the morning, in the afternoon, or at night. take a pause moment and see how good God has been and is doing things in your lives today. Not only that, on page 21, he shared as it relates to difficult conversations. And he named three difficult conversations. The first conversation is the conversation we have with ourselves, with self. Oh, we can analyze and look and examine everyone else's life, but that difficult conversation that we have with that person, that man in the mirror. Remember Michael Jackson's song? With self. And then he shared the difficult conversation that we have with others. And then lastly, the difficult conversation we have with God. With God. And if you look closely in this passage of Scripture, you'll see how David was in a tight spot. He was in a jam because he was now having a difficult conversation. Why? I'm glad you asked. Look at the 139th Psalm as you have your Bibles, and you'll see it in its entirety, 24 verses. And David shares as it relates to what he's been accused. It's stated that David had been accused of not being loyal to God. Not being loyal to God. For some people felt that David, the second king of Israel, that he was extending himself to those who are not part of the temple worship. And you and I know that we're called to go forth and make disciples for the transformation of the world. And David was accused of being disloyal to God. And so David has this self-examination where he even asked God to participate in. And God is a participant in every point of our lives. The good, the bad, and the ugly. God is there. He doesn't back off from us, but God is right in our midst. If you look closely at this passage of Scripture, you'll notice that David is now sharing a prayer. He is praying to God. In fact, let me help you fill in the blanks. What does David do? He takes it up in prayer with God. This psalm is a long prayer to God. Now, mind you, it's not a long public prayer. And we've been warned in the Bible by having long, vain, repetitious prayers. But this prayer is a personal prayer to God. I hope that you take some time out this week and just write God a prayer. Just write a prayer to God. And guess what? He's looking over our shoulders anyway. And he can read. He can write. And he can add. God is a good God. And David shares three important facts as it relates to this prayer. Number one, God looked in my inward person. He wasn't talking about anyone around him. He says, God, look at my inward person. Look at my DNA. Look at me. See, on the outward appearance, we can fool folks and fake it until we make it. We can have folks to assume everything is going okay. But inwardly, we're dealing with strife, we're dealing with pain, we're dealing with sorrow. And David is now pouring out his heart to God, asking God to look at his inward person. Then number two, look at this. Find anything that would cause you or other pain and show me these things. He was willing for God to look at him from head to toe. And he was willing for God to point things out that wasn't right, that wasn't in order, according to the will of God, that he may change or be converted or transformed. And then number three, lead me on the road to eternal life. Here's David asking God to lead him on the road to eternal life. Now, if you have a King James translation, it says, lead me into your righteous path. He was asking God to lead and to guide him to everlasting life. And you and I continue to do that daily on our spiritual journey as well. But David acknowledged that God was a participant in every point of his life. He acknowledged that God indeed is all-knowing. How do we know? Look at Psalms 136. Look at that first verse, and you also see it in verse 23. But look at that first verse. He says, "Search me, O Lord, search me. You know, as it relates to my sitting down, and you know, as it relates to my rising up." This is an Old Testament image that he's sharing, that God knows when we're at work and he knows when we're at rest. For God is an all-knowing God. And David is now acknowledging how God knows all things. And indeed, he knows all things. In fact, if you look at the fourth verse, it shares as it relates to when we're speaking, God already knows what we're going to say, our words. And David acknowledges in the first six verses that he's an all-knowing God. But then if you look at verses 7 through 12, he acknowledged that he's an omnipresent God, that he's a God who is present in the at the same time, in the same places, as well as other places. And he says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" If you've ever been trying to hide from God, you won't make it. Look at the eighth verse. This is why. David says, "If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." There's no place that we can escape from God. We can fly off to yonder's mountain, but guess what? God is there. We can go to the deepest sea, but guess what? God is there. He doesn't abandon his children. And then he acknowledges not only that he's an all-knowing God, that he's an all-present God, but then he's an all-powerful God, omnipotent. He's an all-powerful God. If you have your Bibles, look at verses 13 and 14. David describes the powerfulness of God. He says, "Even when I was in my mother's womb, you covered me." You were right there in the process of birth. Before, during, and after. And then in verse 14, if you're ever having a bad day, read this passage. "I will praise you for I'm what? Fearfully and wonderfully made." It is God who has made each and every one of us. When you go home, look in a mirror and look what God has done. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You can look at that mirror and say, "Lord, I thank you that you made me, that no one else made me but you. And I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." And then the last portion, as it relates to this psalm, verses 19 through 24, David prescribes to the compassionate nature of God. He asks God to search him, to search everything about him and in him. And he shares with God that he didn't deal with any of those bloodthirsty folks. He asked God that God would continue to search him and find anything in him that he needs to cleanse and remove. And David subscribes as praising God. He concludes his song as it relates to giving God's praise and to acknowledging God and to allowing God to just look in him and out of him and through him and make the difference in his life. And that's what we're called to do as well. Ask God to investigate my life. Look at my life. Find out anything about me. Cross-examine me and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm all about. Isn't that important? A clear picture. And then look at the last verse. He says, "See for yourselves whether I've done anything wrong, and then guide me on the road to eternal life." He was willing for God to examine him. Not only that, if you think for a moment, when we come to this Holy Eucharist service, a time of one bread and one cup, it is a clear reminder that we come knowing that we're not worthy and knowing that God sees us each and every day and we're not even worthy to partake the cup or the bread. But how are we worthy? If you have your Bibles, look at 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and the 28th verse. Paul says it this way as it relates to communion. He said, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. We're worthy to do this morning because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He paid it all on Calvary's rugged cross. The hymnologist is correct. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We're now cleansed by the blood of Jesus and made right by Jesus Christ. He justifies us and makes us right before God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised.